Great to be here. Maybe that'll be better. And to discuss with you a procedure for appointing elders. I can already see this going to be kind of frustrating. There's Troy up here leading the prayer, and I'd like to have about 30 minutes to stand and talk to him. And then others of you already have come up, and I'd like to have about 30 minutes with each one of you. And I know that's not going to be possible, but it is really good to be here and to talk with you, at least to give you some procedure for going about appointing elders. You might want to turn to Acts chapter 6. You may wonder, well, why am I here? Why me? Well, I'm not sure I know the answer to that either, to be honest with you. But I do suspect I've been through the process of trying to appoint elders or appointing elders maybe a dozen times. I suspect at least that many times. And I'm glad to tell you that in all of those times, we have not had any problems anywhere where I've been. We've been through the process in several different places. And a part of that is that we gave thought ahead of time. Tried to think of any eventuality that might arise down the way so that we would know exactly what we're going to do if that occurs. Churches oftentimes have problems trying to appoint elders. In fact, I remember one place where I was, and I was talking to a very mature man in the faith, and I said, he said, "How's the work going where you are?" I said, "It's going great. In fact, we're about ready to try to appoint elders." He didn't say, "Well, that's great." He didn't say, "Congratulations." He said, "Hope you don't have any trouble." And what that says is that churches oftentimes have fallen into very deep problems trying to appoint elders. And I believe, well, there are two reasons for that. One is that they did not plan ahead. They didn't think through a procedure, and they just kind of launched into it. And then some problem arises down the way and they don't know how to handle it. They're not ready for that. This is an effort to avoid that. Now, a second reason sometimes churches have problems is that you have somebody who wants to serve, determined to serve, whether he's qualified or not, and problems arise. And I would like to think that that would not be the case in Auburn. So what I'm doing is congratulating you in reaching a point where you feel like, well, maybe it is time to appoint elders in the church here. And if the Lord wills, if you have qualified men, then I certainly hope that you will succeed in doing so. Now, when I say get a bit of a voice problem, please tolerate that. When I say this is a procedure, the Bible does not give us any specific procedure by which elders are selected. The one thing that I would mention is in Acts chapter 6, let's begin reading with verse 1. "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" Two things I would suggest there. First of all, there's a difference in choosing and appointing. Some have seen that, Paul told Titus to appoint elders in every city. And some have thought, well, then the preacher is to choose who the elders are to be. No, there is the choice and then the appointing. And the apostles said to the church, "You choose 7 men whom we may appoint." So there's a difference in choosing and appointing. The second thing I would suggest is, the choice was to be made by the church. The apostles didn't make that choice. Apparently, the church in some way chose 7 men. Of course, this was not to serve as elders. but they chose seven men who would have the responsibility of seeing after the Grecian widows and the general distribution of these funds. So you choose seven men. So in some way, the church is to go about choosing men who will serve in whatever capacity they're going to serve in. And that would include those who serve as elders of the church. Now, let me ask you this. Does everybody have a copy of the material that Larry has printed up? Anybody need this material? There's some over here, Larry, if you've got some more. Let's start out by looking at the sheet that has room for placing names on it, this sheet. And let me say again that as we go through this, somebody may be saying, well, this is just so complicated. But the reason it's complicated is it is an effort to anticipate any problem that might arise down the way and be ready to handle that problem, whatever it might be. All right, on this sheet, what you have at the top is the qualifications. And that's just there for you to seriously consider. You'll see four boxes that you might check. Number one, I am new in the congregation and feel that I do not know the men well enough to judge their qualifications. And especially those of you who have just come in for this particular quarter, semester, I don't know what you go on in Auburn, but those of you who have just come in probably should check that square. You may see who the visible men are, but you can't just see who's visible in the congregation and know who's qualified to serve as an elder. So there's one square for you to check if you're new in the congregation. Second, because of youth and experience or for some other personal reason, I feel I should not participate in the selection process. And it may be that for whatever reason you may feel that. Go ahead and check that one. The third, I do not believe there is anyone in the congregation who is qualified. All right, then check that box. Number four, I believe there are men who are qualified to serve. Check this box, even if you believe there is only one. And what you would like to have would be 100% cooperation. Even if you're going to check one of those first two boxes, at least go on and do it. Be a participant. Be cooperative in this process, even if you check one of those first two boxes. And by all means, if you think nobody's qualified, you should check the third box. And then at the bottom, please write the names of men that you believe are capable of providing shepherding for this church and are qualified to serve. If you believe there's only one qualified man, you should write his name. Do your own thinking. If I knew how to underscore something with speech, do your own thinking. This is not something where you contact others and say, who do you think qualified? Who do you think qualified? Well, do you think so-and-so is qualified? The first thing you know, campaigning begins. And there's a kind of a swell among the people for one man or against one man, it could even be. When we have been through this process before, this may sound strange, but Charlotte and I, my wife Charlotte's here with me, have done very little talking together. I want Charlotte to do her own thinking. And I'm not sure we've always put down the same names. You know, she doesn't know as much as I do. But but do your own thinking. And that's the only way this will work. Problems can arise if you begin to hear of certain ones campaigning for various ones. So do your own thinking. Put down the names of who you think are qualified to serve as elders. All right, I'll just stop right now. Do you have any questions about this sheet? I would think this is straightforward enough. Any problems, anybody? All right, now go to the instructions No, to the suggested procedure for selecting elders. Everybody see that, the suggested procedure? Number one, in a business meeting of, and you can fill in the date, select three men to help guide the church through this process and serve as the link between the congregation and the men who are potential appointees. These three men must be men of wisdom and experience who are not themselves candidates for the eldership. And let me make sure it's understood. These men are not decision makers. It is not their business to decide who's qualified and who's not. All they are doing is steering the congregation through this. Very great care should be taken in who these three men are. This is not something anybody want to volunteer. This is something where it is well thought out. Here is Tom and Dick and Harry, and they are men of experience and are appreciated in this church. And these are the men that are going to see us through this selection process. But you're going to need two or three men, preferably three men if you can. All right, number two. On, and here again, whatever date, and I'm going to give you a typical thing. Sheets are to be given to all members who will list men they believe to be qualified. That's the sheet we've just looked at. Number three, on, and fill in a date that covers 2 weeks, sheets are to be returned. If a person is unable to attend on either of these Sundays, he can mail his sheet or in whatever way get the sheet to one of the three men. Now, what I would suggest is that you place a box or some kind of container in the back so that it's there at every service, and when you have filled out your sheet, you can drop it in the box. But let me suggest this, that whoever the three men are, one of them needs to be assigned the task after every service to go and collect those and put them in safekeeping. You don't want them sitting out there all through the week where everybody with curiosity comes and they're digging in there to see whose names are. Empty the box, put it in safekeeping somewhere, and then at the end of the 2 weeks, those three men have all of the names that have been suggested. Now, number four, from, and here again, fill in dates covering 1 week. Sheets are evaluated by the three men, all whose names are listed on a sizable number of sheets, fill in a percentage, that are filled out are to be considered. If there are sheets that say there are no men qualified, these should be considered as the percentage is determined. The three men will set up appointments with each man to talk with him about his willingness to serve. A percentage that a number of churches have used has been, say, something like 30%. This is not a popularity contest. But what I would suggest is that in that business meeting where you appoint the three men, just have an agreement among all of the men that unless at least 30% of the people place my name on there, then I would not consider serving. And surely, You can't lead a flock as a shepherd if the flock doesn't want you to lead them as a shepherd. Now, why have a percentage? Well, simply this. It keeps those three men from having to go and talk to a bunch of men who are not qualified and the church recognizes they're not qualified. I was at one place where they didn't want the percentage. They refused to accept the percentage. I had the responsibility of going and asking a man if he wanted to serve as an elder who had no children and whose wife was a member of a denominational church and never came with him. You will be amazed at some of the names that will come in. Well, there is no reason to have to go to all of those men. And if there's an agreement that none of us would serve if we're not on at least 30% of the sheets, then that's just kind of understood that that's where you're going to be. And it prevents the embarrassment of having to go to everybody whose name happened to be on just one of the sheets. I recommend that you do that on a percentage basis. But don't make the percentage too high. 30, 40, whatever percentage you decide would be fine. Number five, fill in the date. Names of selected men who are willing to serve are placed before the congregation, and a two-week period is given for objections. Let me pause to say, there's no use having more than 2 weeks. If you have 4 weeks, all the objections will come in on the fourth week. If you have 2 weeks, all the objections will come in on the second week. Everybody waits for somebody else maybe to make the objection. So my experience has been 2 weeks is just good enough, really. All right. A distinction should be made between a mere question and an objection. If someone merely has a question that he or she needs to ask the potential appointee, this should be handled between the two. But all scriptural objections should be written, signed, and submitted to the three men. The objector then goes to the objectee, I don't think there's such a word, in the company of the three men to see if the objection can be resolved to the satisfaction of all parties. Please do not wait until the last day to raise an objection. Unless circumstances forbid it, all objections should be given by Wednesday before the deadline so as not to delay unnecessarily the schedule. All right. So let's just go through it. Three men have been chosen. The sheets have been handed out. There's a two-week period. The sheets have come in. The three men look over the sheets and see how many meet whatever percentage you agree to. And then they go to the men and ask them if they're willing to serve. If they are willing to serve, their names are placed before the congregation. And you have this two-week period. Now, sometime back, we went through a process in Hartsel, where I live. Well, I think there was a woman who maybe was thinking about putting my name down, and she came and asked me a question. I gave her an answer. It was not an objection. She just wanted to know something. She needed to know something before she could put my name down. You may know somebody who you think probably is qualified, but you don't know for sure about this or that in regards to them. Just go ask them. But if you have an objection, I'm talking about a scriptural objection, you believe this person is not qualified to serve as an elder, then you write that objection out. Give it to the three men. Don't shortcut this. You can tweak all of this any way you want to, but don't shortcut this. The three men need to go with you into the presence of the person to whom you're objecting and listen as that person is given a chance to answer the objection. This is a very important part of this procedure. And by all means, if you know something that others do not know, then don't allow somebody to be appointed as an elder who is not qualified to serve. You have an obligation to point out something if somebody is about to be appointed whom you know is not qualified. Number six, if an objection cannot be resolved between the two, the men of the congregation in a specially called meeting must consider the objection and decide concerning its validity. Now, I tell you what tends to happen. Somebody's name has been suggested. He says, yes, I'm willing to serve. And somebody comes and gives the three men an objection, and they come to the potential appointee and says, Brother so-and-so has an objection. Well, I tell you, if somebody's got an objection, then I just won't serve. Don't do that. Don't just throw up your hands. Let the person come to you. Let the person make the objection. And then if you believe the objection is valid, say so and say, then I really shouldn't serve. You're right about this. Or if it's not valid, answer the objection. Don't just throw up your hand just because somebody has made an objection. Sometimes people can be kind of picky. I hope nobody will be here. But don't throw up your hand just because somebody has made an objection. And when that person comes and makes his objection, you answer the objection, but it still is not resolved there in the presence of the three men. Still, don't just throw up your hands. If you believe you're qualified, then all the men come together. They listen to the objection. They listen to the answer to the objection. And the men have to make a decision as to the validity of the objection that has been made. I don't know how to emphasize that too much. This is a part of why problems sometimes exist. Number 7, fill in the date. If all objections are resolved, selected men are appointed to serve. Now, if you look at these other two pages, I'm not going to go through all of these because I want to give you a chance to answer, to ask some questions. But this will be given out on the day that names are placed before the congregation. Let's say you have three men who say, yes, I'm willing to serve, whose names have appeared on a certain percentage of the sheet. Three men, Tom, Dick, and Harry, we'll call them again, and their names are placed before the congregation. Then this material is placed in the hands of every member with instructions concerning questions and objections. I guess the main thing, let's read this paragraph on good attitudes are essential. Good attitudes must prevail through this process on the part of both the congregation and those selected as potential elders. If you must approach one of these men with a question or objection, you must do so as you would want to be approached, with straightforwardness, but also with love and kindness. We must not be picky, hypercritical, or unnecessarily judgmental. But at the same time, we must be concerned that the men appointed are qualified for the work. We expect the men under consideration to handle any objection with fairness, humility, dignity, and maturity. And remember, if you do have questions or objections, you must go through proper channels, avoiding stirring up strife and dissatisfaction within the congregation. And the reason for that last sentence is, Tom's name is placed before the congregation as somebody that might be appointed, and you say, he's not qualified, and you get in touch with everybody and just tell about it. No, you don't do that. You go to the three men. You write out your objection. You sign it. And then you be willing to go to the person whom you're objecting to and discuss that problem with him. But you don't discuss it with all the people of the congregation. You don't discuss it with another person in the congregation. That's where problems arise. And we must, by all means, do everything we can to hold down the potential problems that can exist when elders are being appointed. I might say this, the three men, let's go back to the sheet where names are placed. When the three men are considering the percentage, the first one, if somebody's checked that first one, that one's thrown out. If somebody's checked the second one, that one is thrown out. Those two are not considered in the percentage. Why then would you even put a check mark there? Just to cooperate with the group, to be a part, even though you are not actually going to be active in the selecting process. The sheets that would be considered are the ones that have been checked on these last two. I do not believe there's anyone in the congregation who's qualified, and I believe there are men who are qualified to serve. Those are the sheets. Now, before we open it up for some questions, let me just give you and I've just grabbed some dates out of the air here. January 15, three men are selected in a business meeting. January 22, sheets are passed out. February the 5th, by that time, all sheets have been returned. Through the week of February the 5th, the three men go through all of the sheets. and size up what men are to be approached. February 12 through 18, men are contacted who are potential appointees. February 19, names are placed before the church. February 19 through March the 3, the period of objections. March the 4th, appointment takes place if everything has been settled, which covers approximately 7 or 8 weeks in the selection process. Now, it may be that all objections will not have been settled, and if that's true, then you might have to extend it another week or two. I had one more thing I wanted to say. Well, I'm not seeing it right now, but I'll probably think of it in a minute. Sometimes the computer doesn't work as fast as it used to. All right, are there any questions? All right. Just as you go about making any decision, though, let me just say, let me see if I can get a possible scenario. Joe has objected to Tom. Tom has answered Joe's objection, but Joe has not accepted that objection. So it has not been resolved. The men are all called together in meeting, and Joe, before the men, makes his objection and states whatever he needs to state in regards to the objection. Then Tom is given a chance to answer the objection. Then it is thrown open for discussion, and let the men discuss it as far as they need to discuss it. And hopefully, by that time, the group will have been brought to a reasonably unanimous decision. Now, if after the discussion it's pretty well 50-50, then by all means it's time to delay the appointment of that person, because the appointment would be very divisive. I know now what I was going to say. You may not succeed the first time. When I was in Florence, Alabama, we went through the process. 2 or 3 names came up, nobody willing to serve. We got up and announced that and said, don't be discouraged. We'll try again in another year, year and a half. We tried again in about a year and a half after that, and one man was willing to serve. Still couldn't appoint, because it has to be a plurality. And we said, well, let's not be discouraged. We'll try again in about a year and a half. Year and a half after that, 2 men were willing to serve. They were appointed, served well, and then later a 3rd man was appointed with them. So don't get discouraged. If you don't succeed the first time, just say, well, we'll try again on down the way. And what you want to do is avoid every way you can to have any problems. Don't be a problem yourself unless standing for truth and right creates a problem. Be sure you enter this thing with the right attitude. All right. Any other questions? Yes. I don't know that the Bible is very clear about that. I do know that Titus in Crete was to appoint elders in every city. Pretty much everywhere I've been, when time came for appointing, it was not done in any formal kind of a way. Anybody having a problem with me going ahead and stating what we have done? All right. What we have generally done, let's just say you have 3 men, and they're going to be appointed. It's all settled. The Sunday has come for the appointment. What I have done, again, I just don't know that we have any specific teaching about this. I've had the three men to come to the front and to sit on the front seat. Then I have addressed those three men, but I've addressed those three men more as the as speaking for the congregation, what we were expecting of them, our confidence in them, generally just letting them know this is a big responsibility and we're expecting the most from you and we will be praying for you and we will cooperate with you. And then we have each one of the three men or two men or whatever it is to come and address the congregation and thank the congregation and ask for their cooperation and their prayers and that kind of thing. And then when it's over, after they've spoken, generally we have a prayer. I think in the case of any church, anyone could be selected, as far as I know, to do that. These are good questions. Any other questions? It's 20 minutes till. The bell just rang. Thank you very much. Great to see many of you whom I know, many of you I do not know. I will tell you this. I think I held the first meeting for this congregation. They met in a house in about 1967 or 8 or something like that. And those who were members of that congregation are now old men. and that guy that preached back then was a young man then. But I have been invited other times to come and various difficulties. One time I had back surgery, couldn't come for the meeting. Another time Charlotte was just seriously ill, couldn't come for the meeting. So you have been very kind to me, and I'm glad to be here tonight, and thank you very much for your consideration of this. And again, this is a procedure. You can tweak it any way you want to. Just don't tweak it so much that you could run into some problems down the way. Thanks so much.